Good day, everyone. Hope you are well today. You're listening to Mental Health Matters on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Andra Hollenbeck with NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, Southern Oregon. And we cannot talk about health without talking about mental health. And this program, we explore mental health concerns in our community and share how we can work together to promote mental well-being for all. So today, we're discussing services in our area that help youth in mental health crisis. And my guest is Heather Sywell with Jackson County Mental Health Youth Crisis Services. Good morning, Heather. Thank you for being on the program today.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet. So let's have you start by setting the stage for us and tell us a little bit kind of about yourself and your work with the Jackson County Mental Health Crisis Services.
So I'm a qualified mental health professional at Jackson County Mental Health in what we call our Youth Stabilization Services Program. And Youth Stabilization Services is part of the statewide initiative, part of the Mobile Response and Stabilization Services, which is a nationally recognized best practice for crisis response. So out of like thinking all MRSS, we have this big pie. YSS, Youth Stabilization, is a piece of that pie where we service youth 21 and under who are experiencing a mental health crisis.
Okay, awesome. Oh, that sounds wonderful. So in your experience and in the program, what is the spectrum of youth mental health crises that you see? And then how does your program seek to address that?
We will see a youth in crisis anywhere, if they're at school or they're at home or anybody who sends a referral to us, if it is even another counselor. But our main focus and our main source of referrals is working alongside the hospital and looking for youth who are not otherwise connected to services.
Okay.
And what we do at that point is, if I can, I will go up to the hospital and visit them in person. And if we have another staff member that can do that. And these are youth that we've deemed we could keep them in the community and stabilize at home with the support of the parents and other community partners. And so our goal is to get them in for a mental health assessment within 72 hours. And then we have, through Youth Stabilization Services, we can see them therapeutically for up to 56 days. So that includes with a peer support and a family parent partner and some other services that we can wrap around.
So then that sounds like where you sort of interface with other services as a follow-up to the crisis.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so it sounds like anyone can avail themselves of their of your services, but it sounds like it's mostly through the hospital, and that's how you get most of your referrals, although you did mention that you sometimes get from schools or parents or counselors as well. So who can avail themselves of your services? Is it open to any youth?
It is open to any youth, and we are what we call insurance blind. So we will see any youth regardless of your insurance income limits. We want to fill that gap between the crisis, helping the family stabilize, and getting them connected to longer-term services. People can walk in through Jackson County Mental Health and access us that way, too.
Okay. I want to ask first about the, you said that you sometimes interface with other mental health services. I'm wondering, are there other youth mental health services that you folks work with that maybe also do some sort of crisis or go alongside you in response to the crisis?
So Jackson County Mental Health responds with boots on the ground to a crisis situation alongside Mercy Flights. Their mobile integrated health system comes alongside and they operate as a team. Generally, I'm not the one out in the field like that, but we do have some wonderful people here who work together with Mercy Flights and respond to crises out in our community.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that was a question I was going to ask because I know you have this crisis response team that works out in the community and works with adults, but it sounds like they also will come for a youth who is in mental health crisis.
They absolutely will come for youth also.
Okay, excellent. And then you told us about how you work with the hospital when a youth comes to you in crisis. What are some things that youth present that are crises?
Crisis shows up in different ways for youth, right? And depression and anxiety can show up in behaviors. So sometimes we will see youth who are having big behaviors that result in getting in aggressive physical altercations, verbal altercations, sometimes property damage. And then we have youth that present with self-harm and then the suicidality, the thoughts, actions, plans to, to hurt themselves. We are really looking at those acute youth who are having those acute crises, saying, like, I can't do this anymore, that are coming out as behavior or the suicidal thoughts and actions.
So it is what most of us would think about as a crisis, something that's a very big kind of aggressive physical altercation or some, you know, depths of depression where there's self-harm involved or thoughts of self-harm, that sort of thing. Okay.
Absolutely.
That's helpful. So I want to ask, how are ways that parents and caregivers and other adults that are in a youth's life support them when they're seeing mental health challenges with their youth, maybe even before it gets to a crisis, or they can see that it's starting to come to a crisis? What's the best thing for the adult people in that youth's life to kind of do?
Oh, I love this question because it's something that shows up in the emergency room and in the therapy room all over again, is that I think oftentimes the parenting skills that we have been taught, kind of pull yourself up by your bootstraps and we don't do feelings and we keep going, are sometimes inadvertently the parenting skills that we replay out with our children. And they are also the ones that aren't working. So really focusing on how do I meet my kids' emotional needs? How do I make them feel seen and heard? How do I recognize that they are in crisis and that I need to be able to sit in that moment with them without trying to use that fix it language or that fix it action, which is difficult. Like we sit here and say this and this sounds so easy, but I time and time again sit with parents and we'll get right up to the emotion and they'll be like, and they didn't go to school. And we're really detouring away from like what is presenting in the room, because sitting in the room with your kid who is saying, hey, I want to end my life, and our kids are our hearts walking around outside of us, right? Mm-hmm. As a parent, that is like the biggest loss and the most awful thing that could happen to us. But really being able to meet your kid with, I see you, I hear you, I can tell you're hurting. You know, maybe I have some skills I need to learn. Maybe you have some skills you need to learn. And most of all, just telling them, hey, you're not alone in this. We're going to walk through this together.
Yeah, it is kind of contrary to like, well, maybe if you just go for a walk or if we do this or that, that'll solve the problem. But it's really more about kind of being where they are, acknowledging their pain, and walking on the journey with them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We had a youth one time tell us I just wanted you guys, the staff that was around, because they were actually in a residential program, I just wanted you to sit down and watch a movie with me. Like, just be in this. Like, you can't fix this. Just be there.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
And just that way of distracting instead of rushing them off, you know, somewhere or reacting at a 10 when we really needed like a 5.
Yeah. Hear you. You're listening to Mental Health Matters on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Andra Hollenbeck, and my guest is Heather Seiwell with the Jackson County Mental Health Use Crisis Services, also called Youth Stabilization Services, it sounds like, since that's what you work towards, taking a crisis and try to find stability. And so do you see any particular trends emerging or issues that you've noticed in youth mental health and mental health services?
I do. I've been in this field about 6-7 years now. It's like, oh, the time goes so fast.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember 6 or 7 years ago, we didn't have as many services in play as we do now.
Okay.
So as far as, you know, looking in the community, I am impressed with some of the strides that have been made. Like, we didn't have stabilization and we didn't have people who would go out and meet somebody in a crisis. It was really kind of, you know, go to the ED and, you know, if they didn't keep you, I kind of hope you made it, you know,
and you'd
be on a wait list for 6 to 8 months to get services. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I do see us trending in a better direction. Are we perfect? No. I mean, we have a ways to go, and youth suicidality is still, like, I think last time I checked, like the second leading cause of death for kids.
Right.
So it still is very much present and it still is very much a concern.
Mm-hmm.
I see the devices, the internet connections and internet influences being a trend that's kind of up and coming. I mean, any parent out there knows if you take your youth device, they usually end up in a tantrum and throwing a fit, telling us again how connected they are to those devices and how much that is limiting their ability to learn how to connect. So with other people, another trend I see and I talk to youth about, which is always interesting to me, is they will go through a breakup with a significant other, whether it be a 16-year-old or a 21-year-old, and it becomes suicidal. Mm-hmm. And these youth don't know how to, or have not been taught how to end a relationship. What does a healthy goodbye look like?
Right.
And so that is another thing that I am noticing a lot in the last probably month, seeing a lot of kids who are becoming suicidal post-breakup and making some pretty drastic, almost potentially life-ending decisions over this, which we don't want to see. And then 2 or 3 weeks later, when some of those feelings aren't as intense, they are obviously having different answers.
Mm-hmm.
But that's something I do work with parents on, is have you taught your kid how to go through a breakup? Like, people come and go in our lives, and that's something that we definitely need to learn. So some of those, I guess I consider them lower level skills, but they're not.
They're life coping skills, because we all have to learn to live with grief and loss of some sort, you know, on different levels. And sometimes it's more in those grief and loss feelings are more intense than others. But yeah, it is a skill to learn how to do that. It sounds like some of the legislation that's come through is starting to have a positive impact. That's good to hear. But there are some other services offered for youth at Jackson County. Can you mention some of those other services that people might be able to avail themselves of?
They do. We have a RAP team here. We have 5 RAP coordinators who are all absolutely amazing and some of the best colleagues I've worked with. Mm-hmm. And so RAP is for youth who are connected to 2 other services. So a lot of times we will see a youth who has a therapist and they have a 504 or an IEP at school. Uh-huh. And so our RAP coordinators have to have something to coordinate.
Right,
we look
right.
for 2 or more services. Sometimes we will see youth who are connected to JDH who have, you know, a therapist and an IEP. And so we would pull in all those different players.
Okay.
And it's really strength-based and youth-focused.
Mm-hmm.
And it lasting up to 18 months. So it's a long walk with lots of small changes over those 18 months to get the situation turned around and get the youth to being successful.
Okay, excellent. And then you also have the Early Assessment and Support Alliance program.
Yes.
And I think there's you have something called parent-child interaction therapy. I guess I'll mention, mm-hmm. too, that some of this is on your website, the Jackson County
yep.
Mental Health website, which is a great place for people to go to get more information if they want to find out about youth services. Yeah.
So what one do you want me to go for first?
Well, tell us about the Early Assessment Support Alliance, and we have just a couple more minutes, so we'll just touch base on those.
2, okay. Our Early Assessment Support Alliance, we abbreviate as our ESA mm-hmm. program,
mm-hmm.
and ESA is really geared for youth, I want to say it's 25, possibly up to 27, and under, who are experiencing what we would consider a first break psychosis.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we know there is that if we can get that youth into services, and there is a huge family support component, we have a weekly family support group that is really well attended that we see families just flourish in with, oh my gosh, you're not alone. And there's other people who are having these experiences, mm-hmm. as well as the youth seeing a therapist, we have a medication management person, peer support, and really wrapping around them. And mm-hmm. what we're really looking at is that if we can prevent the brain from going through more cycles of psychosis, it is a better overall lifetime outcome.
Okay.
And so the data around early intervention is definitely very positive and supportive.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what our ESA team is trying to do, is for anybody having first break psychosis, what we call prodromal, so early symptoms where we may be working up to a first break,
mm-hmm.
ESA is definitely there as a resource to assess and support that family
yeah.
as they are going through that.
And I think we've actually had a program on the ESA program. So if anybody's interested in that, they could look in the JPR archive as well. And then you have something called Youth System of Care. Is that part of what you're doing?
Yeah, I think that's just part of what we're doing.
Uh-huh.
What we missed over was the PCIT.
Okay.
PCIT is parent-child interaction therapy,
yes.
and it is geared for children 6 and under.
Okay.
So again, looking at kids with behaviors, looking at kids who have come from hard places, kids who have maybe had multiple transitions in their early years, and it's an attachment-based program, very much based on play therapy. The therapist usually coaches the parent who has an earpiece in their ear as they are playing with the child. And it is a different type of play that is designed to be more therapeutic and attachment based.
Okay.
So
okay.
we see great outcomes. Those kids come in for session 1 and they're, you know, kind of not certain what's coming and maybe screaming down the hallway. And by session 3, they're walking back holding mom's hand. And
oh.
it's really neat,
yeah.
even though we're not in the room with them, to see that change that happens. Can happen quickly.
Yeah. Well, it's really great to hear about these services that are available for youth in our community. And I'm kind of gathering that this sort of thing is happening in other counties as well in a similar type mm-hmm. fashion.
Absolutely. So
yeah.
we have YSS is part of that MRSS, like we said at the beginning,
mm-hmm.
and that is assigned to each county. So
okay.
if any of your listeners are in Josephine County, there is a YSS program that is can be accessed through options out there. They hold that contract and implement the program in that area. And we collaborate with them if we have a youth over here that lives in that area or vice versa.
Great. Well, that's our time for today. Thank you, Heather, so much for coming on the show. We've been speaking with Heather Seiwell with the Jackson County Mental Health Youth Crisis Stabilization Services. And you can find information about NAMI Southern Oregon, their support groups, classes, advocacy, and opportunities at our website, namisouthernoregon.org, or you can email us at info@namisouthernoregon.org. You've been listening to Mental Health Matters on the Jefferson Exchange. My name is Andra Hollenbeck. You can find us at jeffexchange.org or on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you might get your podcasts.